here again.
And it's good to come intermittently, you know, because when we come, straight away we can have a sense of where the church is at. And today I really have been drinking of the Spirit since coming in today. It's been a challenging week, but somehow just being here with you with such a rich sense of God's presence, already I have felt that I've broken through all that stuff that prevents us from really taking in more of God. And I feel somehow that, and I know that you have been on a journey as a body, and there's a rich sense of His Spirit here today. There's a healing sense of God's Spirit. There's a healing presence here today. And that song, the title of that song is Beauty for Brokenness. And we saw a lot of images of our broken world. Some of those things we meet when we come to church and we go out on a Monday to Friday, we're meeting a lot of those challenges. We're meeting homelessness. We're hearing the stories of people who have been trying to find a place of safety, traveling very dangerous journeys to find a place of safety in the United States, in our country, in Scandinavia. That's what we see every day. And, you know, the theme of our talk today is your faith has made you whole. We see a lot of brokenness in our world, but somehow coming to Christ, we start to find a way to wholeness. And so we're going to talk simply about two things, brokenness and wholeness. And I wonder if you could put the first slide up for me. You know, Kofi and I, our work is very much with brokenness. We are both therapists. Kofi is a family systemic and pastor. And I'm psychodynamic, working with mainly with mothers and their children and infants where they have not managed to even bond because of depression and all kinds of very serious issues. And so we are immersed in the brokenness in our daily work. And we need all the time to know God's presence in our lives as we try to do that work. Because, you know, there is only so much that therapy can do, psychotherapy can do, or family therapy can do. We come to a point when we need a supernatural breakthrough, a supernatural presence. And this is why we need wholeness in the body of Christ. We all of us are doing our work day to day, week to week, to contribute to society. But without knowing that breakthrough into the realm of the supernatural, you know, there's only so much that we can achieve. Many of my colleagues, many of my therapist colleagues might not acknowledge even that there is a God, that there's somebody bigger. But I know that without that acknowledgement of God's power and God's presence, however skillful a therapist I am, I can only go so far. And what we find when we come together in the body of Christ is that we can acknowledge that there is someone bigger than I, someone bigger than me. That when I get to to the end of my natural resources, you know, I can turn to God and say, you know, God, I don't know what else, and I don't know how you're going to do this, but help. And this is what the woman said to, came to Jesus and reached out to him. And we're just going to read. When Jesus had again crossed over, this is Mark chapter 5. From 21, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed him and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciple answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. I wonder, do you have the slides at all? The other slides that were sent through? Okay, right. I'll just try and remember what was on it. What I'm going to do, just for a few minutes, is to give an overview of, perhaps an appetizer, of a meal that Kofi has prepared to serve to you today. Because, you know, when we come together as a family, I know that in our family, it's really nice when we all come together and we have a meal together. And somehow it binds us together. And it's a really good time. So I'm just going to give a bit of an appetizer and a quick overview of what we are going, the journey we would like to take today. Okay, so Jesus said to her, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Now, the first point I'd like to make is about brokenness. The fact that Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole," implies that she came to him feeling a bit broken. Yeah? Is that reasonable to assume that? She was feeling a bit broken. So she came to him and she reached out to him. And, you know, just a few thoughts about brokenness. We can be broken in so many ways. We deal a lot with broken families, yeah? Where things have gone wrong. We have brokenness in our society. Brokenness implies that something is in pieces, yeah? And those pieces need to come together again. Now, some of us might be sitting here, and I don't know your circumstances, and you might be feeling like that we're looking at you and you're looking nicely dressed, but back home, you're dealing with some tough issues. There's some brokenness there. Now, there is a Chinese or Japanese art form whereby, especially dealing with ceramics or pottery, a piece of pottery can become broken, but this art form brings it back together again using gold as the binding agent. If you can imagine the gold shining through those broken pieces, you can imagine the beauty that is the end result. Now, the value of that piece of pottery becomes far more after those pieces have been brought together and bound together by that gold. Okay? So sometimes we feel that we are broken and there is no hope. But the way God brings us together again by His Spirit and in his body, oh, look, it's appeared. But the way God brings us together again, the value that we feel is far more than a feeling of brokenness. We feel a sense that I am worth something. And because you feel that sense of worth, then people around you, they feel it too. You know when a little child, you know, you have a pretty little baby, you go shopping, and everyone says, oh, how lovely. And that little baby looks up proudly. And what they're taking in all the time is a sense of, oh, I'm pretty, I'm beautiful. And so the baby grows and projects onto everybody they meet, I'm so beautiful, I'm so special. You know, when you dress them up, your little girl. Now, remember Joanna, little bows in her hair and what have you, and proudly pushing the pram down the road. Oh, what a beautiful baby, thank you. And I'm feeling proud, and baby's feeling proud. And that cycle goes on. You receive a sense of worth, and you project that out to everybody you meet. And so when God puts us together, we feel that I am worth something. And we go out in the world and we project that onto whoever we meet. Yeah? And you're more likely, when you're giving out good stuff, to receive good stuff back. Yeah? And so that builds you up even more. And then you go out with some more. And we come together in the body of Christ and we receive as we worship in the presence of our Father. He fills us up with something and we can go out with something to give. So today when I came in, I was feeling quite drained. But after just worshiping and I had a sense of God's presence and being filled up so that I have something to give. Hopefully not dry, but something that is watered by the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you could just move on to the next one. Try and remember what's up there. And the next one, please. Right, and so this is what we heard in the reading today. And Kofi is going to unpack that. He's always in the Word, so he's more qualified to do that than me. So Matthew 9:22 always says the same thing. She said to herself, if only I touch his cloak, I'll be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take courage, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was cured from that very hour. And in Mark it says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Can you move on to the next slide for me, please? And wholeness. What do we mean by wholeness? We talked about brokenness. But what does it mean to be whole? It's a, no rocket science here, it's a state of being unbroken and undamaged. And wholeness implies that there is a state of order instead of chaos. And the fruit of the Spirit is, you know, if we are nurturing the presence of the Spirit in our lives, then we grow fruit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, self-control, all those things. We grow that in our lives. And that implies that we are becoming more whole day by day as we receive more of his Spirit into our lives. And the concept of shalom that we hear of often, the same idea as salvation, implies that we are coming into a place of wholeness. When we receive God's shalom, when we receive Jesus into our lives, we receive his peace. Irene, or Irene comes from that. Your mum's Irene comes from Irene, that peace. When we receive his peace, we're poised for blessing, poised to receive blessing and poised to give blessing again. And so that is a sense of wholeness. And just the last slide, please. So this is what we started with, Graham's beauty for brokenness. And look at that vase. This one is not put together with gold, but you can imagine if there was gold in between those pieces, how amazing that would be. I wasn't able to get a nice image of this Japanese art, but this shows you what it is like. This vase is made of little pieces, all put together, and how beautiful that is. You know, God is here, and he's here to bring wholeness, to continue that process of wholeness in our lives, okay? And at the end of the service, I'd just like you to relax as Kofi comes to take us deeper into the word. And at the end, as a body, we will minister to one another. Just be poised to receive more of God's holiness, more of God's presence, so that as you leave this place today, it's with a purpose to bring that presence of God into your daily lives. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Darling?
Let's just be quiet for a little bit. Moment. Father, we thank you. We thank you. You are Yahweh. 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 And all that you wanted Moses and Israel to know, that you are the I am. That I am. You told Moses to go and tell the people of Israel, if they want to know your name, a name that they find it so hard to pronounce, just tell them, I am that I am. I will be what I will be. I'm always there. I am with you always. And Father, thank you for the time of worship that we just had. And Yvonne's words. Father, just thank you for everything that you've given to us already this morning. We just receive. We receive you, O God, for you are here with us. You are the I am, Yahweh. I am that I am. And Father, we thank you for your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen. It's always wonderful to be with you here. We really love you guys, and we've been so, you know, obviously I don't like to use the word busy all the time, but our life is always overwhelmed with so many things, especially for Yvonne. So we've been in and out of the country, and we've been also involved in so many other things around the country. But so we couldn't send a message to Aaron and Gideon. We're just so overwhelmed with their anniversary because I've known them for generations. I knew Aaron when she was very little. You know, so Aaron's dad was like the pastor when I was in school. You know, and the, you know his her elder brother was my buddy, so we were good friends. We were in boarding school together. So, and also because Gideon and Aaron have been very close to my younger sister, you know, here they've been involved. And so they've been involved in our lives for many years. And so we're really thankful to God. When marriages, you know, God is it just wonderful. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. The woman is so special, too. That's why I find passages like this so wonderful. You know, even though he said it's not good for man to be alone, he said, man, you need someone. Without a woman, you are in so much in trouble. You be alone. But if you think right through Scripture, it's so amazing when even God talks about, Jesus says, I'm not leaving you as orphans. In John 7, you know, John 14, where it says, I'm not leaving you as orphans. That was the promise of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm not leaving you as orphans. Because it wasn't good that you were alone. even though I'm leaving you, I promise you that the Father, through me, will send you a comforter, a helper. He will be with you forever. And God intends for us to be together forever. And when things doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world. Because he said, I am with you. I am with you. And it's so much the desire that this morning just want to instill faith in you. I love this passage. It's almost like when you come to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's almost like sometimes you need other voices. Sometimes when you're alone as a witness, it's probability, or maybe it could be hypothesis, that someone is saying something. It just your mindset. Hypothesis means that it's just something that it's just one person talking about. It is just a thought. But when there are three people or more, because sometimes I work with a team of clinicians and we observe the same thing. And we have to come out to talk about what we heard. You know, you're listening to someone for about 40 minutes and maybe three, four, five of your colleagues have to reflect on the conversations. So in a way, we are reflecting on the conversations or the conversation of the client. And it would be sometime amazing. I thought, when we were all listening, did I just fall asleep? Because my colleague, it's not a competition. We all heard the same thing. But you might think it's a competition. Because this person is saying something that I thought, goodness, what did they, how did they see that? And then the other person comes and it's my turn and I'm thinking, I saw a flower. A nice rose flower, but they didn't see it. And they said, how did you see that? And I'm thinking inside me, you also saw something that I didn't see. And that's how I look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke talking about this same issue. Matthew talks about it in Matthew chapter 9. Mark comes up. Mark somehow gives a bit more detail. And then Luke, being a physician, gives a view, which is a physician's view. But I preferred, after I looked at it, and also it's about translations again. I always say, people always ask me, what's the best translation? All the translations are very good. It just, they clarify each other again. It's about how you look at language. So just going back again, because just to walk you through so that we can pray a bit more later. So it's in Mark chapter 5. Again, same things we read. There were people who were following Jesus. You know, if you cut from verse 24, second part. In this version, which I just picked up, I picked up two versions. I've got so many Bibles, so I just pick it up. But sometimes it's quite interesting. This one says a crowd of people were following Jesus, crowding in on him. A woman was there who had been bleeding for 12 years. Later on, when you read the beginning of this chapter, you also notice that Jesus was with someone who'd been possessed. He was someone who's been chained. In a cemetery because they were afraid of him. He had issues that people were afraid of. And he was so violent to himself and possibly violent to the community. So he's been chained up. This man whom everyone feared, met Jesus and threw himself. We talk about bow down. The reason why we bow, the power and the presence of Jesus was so sweet for this man. So he bowed. He came and threw himself before Jesus. And that's something amazing. And then secondly, you have Jairus, who is a father of a girl, a young girl of 12 who had died. And then the same thing, this man comes and throws himself before Jesus. He senses the calmness, the beautiful presence of Jesus, and just threw himself before Jesus, wanting Jesus just to come because the daughter was almost dying. But obviously, later on, the daughter died. So in the midst of all that, Mark has so much to talk about. So he sandwiches another issue. So there was someone, this man who's been chained up, violent to himself and violent in the community, who felt he has so many personalities that they were disturbing him. He said, Jesus asked him for his name. He just gave him a number. We are many. He couldn't even count. He couldn't understand what was going on with him. But one thing about the presence of Jesus, it creates a change. And so within that comes this woman's situation. So this mom had been bleeding for 12 years. She has suffered a lot under care of many doctors and has spent everything she had without getting any better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Because she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes, or touched the hem of his garment. That is, again, another whole teaching, because you go back to Numbers 15, and that will give you an explanation of this clothing. You see a lot of Jews today, obviously, because Jews were being persecuted a lot, and they were, you could identify them by what they wore. So they had to change, and sometimes they wear it under their clothes or use the shawl. The prayer shawl has got those tassels, it's called. So this woman came behind in the crowd and touched his clothes, or touched the hem of his garment. She was thinking, if I can just, the thing is, in other version, they said, if I can, she thought within herself. It's almost like you're having a conversation with yourself. Sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes people may think, what's wrong with this person, almost talking to themselves. But this woman possibly was not talking verbally. She was just meditating. Because the Bible tells us, in Psalms 1, it says, the people who meditate day and night on the word of God. There's something powerful about God's word. It's not just the words, but Jesus is the word. So when you confront, or you come around, or you find the presence of God in Christ moving around you, there's something powerful about that. This man felt there was something I could do. If only, just like the prodigal son. You remember in the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. The prodigal son was the son who left home because he wanted his father to divide his goods and give to him because he was in a hurry. But then when he went away and squandered all that he had, the Bible says he came to his senses. He thought within himself, what am I doing here? So you have to come to a place where suddenly you think about it. Said, why am I feeling like this? What is wrong with me? Why am I not doing something about this? Simply, Jesus is saying, just a word. Just a word. She felt she could touch him, the hem of his garment. Just a simple thing. So if you go to, very quickly, I know the time, just because we want to pray, I want you to, so that it's always important with Bible study to be able to go back. So if you don't turn to it, but, read it. Numbers 15, 37 to 41. It's about the fringes where God gave all this to Moses to tell the Israelites to actually sew, around their clothing, these tassels. It's almost like a strings that will, if they thought about these strings on their clothes, it will remind them of the commandments of Jesus, of God. Just something to remind them. So every time they went around and they felt the tassels around the garment, they could feel and remember, oh God, you commanded us to follow you. You told us you are holy. You are the complete one. And we should follow you. So every time they touch it, they remember the commandments. Not just the Ten Commandments, but everything God said to them. And everything God said to them hinges on two things. It's either life or death. And if you read right through Deuteronomy 27, right through where, you know, you hear a lot of preachers talking about you are blessed when you go in, you are blessed when you come out, or you are blessed. The blessings that flow, the happiness that flows if we follow. So to remember that Jesus, many times people say to you, why the Old Testament? If you don't understand the Judeo-Christian principle, it will be hard for you to understand certain things. Why was Jesus worrying? Because Jesus was remembering, was showing us an example that he came to fulfill the law. So he is the one who, even he is the word, he fulfilled these promises in Numbers 15, 37 to 41. He said that the command that men wear fringes on the corners of their garment is directly from God. He wanted Israel to constantly be reminded that they were distinct people. We are distinct people. Jesus wanted us to know because we are in Christ and we are covered by all these principles. The custom of wearing fringes is still followed today by traditional Jews with some slight modifications from the biblical command. The most obvious adaptation for most Jews is that the fringes are not worn as a part of the regular garments because of persecution. But these are so crucial to remember. So this woman came quietly because people would stop her if she came closer to Jesus. Because again, in the Old Testament, if a woman was bleeding in those days, it was almost like giving her time, but they made sure she had a place to be so she didn't have to be in the midst of people. So people were put away. But that's like an outcast. Someone was broken. She's been to doctors. She's been everywhere. She couldn't get help. But then Jesus was passing by. That's the joy of it. Jesus says to her, she had heard about Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd and touch his clothes. She was not allowed to come through the crowd, but she did. She came and touched him. She was thinking. She was musing with herself. He said, if I can only touch him, I will be made whole. I will be healed. How many of us, whatever your situation is, my brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, there is power in the blood of Jesus. He is the healer. He said, if I can. I'm always saying to myself, Kofi, don't underestimate the power of God. Don't underestimate him. Look at our world today. Don't let anyone discourage you about the power that lies in you. Many people are walking around who don't know this power. But we know, and this woman is teaching us, musing. I am not going to miss this opportunity. I'm going to touch him. If I can only. Her bleeding stopped immediately. And she sensed in her body that her illness has been healed. She was put together again. At that very moment, Jesus recognized that power had gone out from him. Wow. He sensed that power. You have that power. Amen. You have that power. Amen. Because Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. You have been crucified with Christ. He said, the life I'm living now is by the faith. By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and he died for me. That is the Christ we serve. Her bleeding stopped. At that very moment, when Jesus recognized, he said, "Who touched me? Who touched the hem of my garment?" At that very moment, when he recognized the disciples, he turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" Such crowd, but you were picked out. Such crowd, but you are special. Amen. You are special because he lives in you. When you open that door, you allow the word to come in. In Psalm 119, it says, "The entrance of your word gives light." So if you allow him to come in, the door opens and light shines through. He's the Father of lights. And something happens. So when he said that, when Jesus, his disciples said to him, "Don't you see the crowd?" But the woman, full of fear and trembling, came forward knowing that what had happened to her. She fell down in front of Jesus and told him the whole truth. She didn't realize that Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. He's the life and the truth. So he said, he told him the whole truth. The whole truth. Whole truth. That's a wonderful. Knowing what I said. He responded, "Daughter." Do you realize you are a daughter? You are a daughter to Christ. He said, "Daughter." It's the holding. She felt held. We should all feel held by this body here. You've got a wonderful congregation here. He said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, healed from your diseases." Totally healed. Jesus is the author. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he says, he is the author and finisher. He's the one who originated our faith. He is the faith. So he said, "Daughter, your faith." I am the originator of faith. I'm the originator, and I'm the one who completes. So without me, you could be going around in darkness. The light must shine. So he says, "Go in peace." So he talked about faith, he talked about peace. And he's our peace. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says, he is a Prince of Peace. In John 14, when he begins by saying, "Do not let your heart be troubled." Are you troubled about something? We all get troubled about things. He said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. I'm going to prepare a place for you." He's always seeking to prepare a place. And then verse 27 of John 14, he says, "The peace. I give you my peace. Not the kind of peace the world gives, but I give you my peace." So he originates faith. He's the author of faith. He's the finisher of faith. He's the one who completes our faith. So we're going to come into him. I want you to feel him infusing his life in you. They said the first Adam, in 1 Corinthians 15, they said the first Adam became a life-living soul. But what about Jesus? In 1 Corinthians 15, he said, he is a life-giving spirit. And spirit is very powerful. When his spirit comes to dwell in us, it connects us, each other. I connect with the spirit in you, and that's what the woman connected. She connected with the spirit of this originator, the author. She was anchoring her faith in him. And it's so important for us to understand that he wants to heal you. He wants to bless your life. Whatever situation you've been going through this week and weeks or years. Immediately, this woman was healed. And if you are read on with Jairus' daughter, she died. And Jesus, that didn't stop him. He came. He said, I have come that you might have life. The thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life. I want to feel that you are going away from here in peace. With faith in the power of the Almighty God who lives and moves and has his being in us. And Christ has come to open the door for us. On the cross, every pain, death, if you have fear of death, whatever fear you have, whatever is tormenting your mind, he took everything onto the cross. There's power in the blood of Jesus. He said, there's a song about the fact, he says that she touched the hem of my garment. She said, I touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole. What a beautiful person she became, this woman. Broken, but beautiful brokenness. And what I want us to do, I think I want the leaders, as the music, you know, the worship leaders, I want the leaders to come forward, because I just want, if you want to be prayed for, I don't want to do it, or even I just to do it by myself. I want you to feel held by the church, because this is a wonderful place for healing. If you have some difficulties, whatever you're going through, just like the woman said, if only she mused to herself, she talked to herself, she meditated within herself, if only. And Jesus hears that. The Father who sits in secret. Remember Psalm 91 says, he or she who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He sees you in secret. The Father sees in secret. He knows everything about you. Psalm 139, it's a wonderful psalm that says, I saw you when you were in your mother's womb. I saw you when you were being formed. And the psalmist is saying, where can I go? Where can I go away from you? There's no way. Even when you are in heaven or in hell or in darkness, there's a light. He said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. How beautiful. How beautiful. Because we are in him. So I want the leaders, please come forward. And it's a different way. I want us, the other leaders, you know, if you can, we need few leaders. What I want us to be doing, if you want prayer, we're going to just face each other like Tracy standing, I'm facing Tracy, and we're going to try to move this. I think we'll move this back. Because I want you to be blessed. And we can't just, all of us, have this infusion of the presence of God. And we just want to impart it to you. So if you want prayer, we're just facing each other. Stand there, yeah. And maybe any other leaders to come and join in. Yeah, Dad, if you stand there. And what I want us to do, if you want prayer, you just go around and you come there and you move slowly, and we just, each one of us will be praying for you. So you just move through. It's almost like a tunnel of blessing. Okay? And we're just going to just release. And I just want the worship leaders, just, you know,